This year the Lord has said to us, Jesus is enough. In other words, if somebody walks into that through that door, the harvest comes in. I don't want to give them cool jokes. I don't want to give them nice memes and great coffee and an atmosphere, even though we're going to be hospitable and loving and caring. But we want to make sure, are we, to the best of our abilities, by the grace of God, do we have Christ in our midst, in our hearts, in our lives? And is that what we're going to share with other people? Not other bumf, not other subcultures. So I needed to check my own heart. Am I truly following the real Christ of the Word? Or the Christ that's just like a little retief? Because sometimes we create God and Christ in that manner. Because it suits us. And so that's why we go back to the Word, saying, is the Christ that I'm following truly the Christ of the Word? Amen? Who wants to follow the Christ of the Word? We know that's not that easy. He said a couple of hard things. But praise God, He gave us His Holy Spirit. And so, I'm not going to repeat everything. Last week we spoke about meekness. Who was meek this week? Meek week. Yeah, who failed meek week? I failed twice on Monday. Totally lost it, lost my cool with a parking attendant at Table Bay Mall. I repented. But I'm like, Jesus, meek week. I'm a pastor, I should get this at least Monday. No. No, I'm not going to reverse. As I drive out, I'm like, that was really not very meek. And so, I'm still a work in progress, as I think some of you might be. But yeah, so let's keep on with meek week. Meekness, obviously, you know, is controlled strength. In other words, I've got the right to do something. It's entitlement spirit of our age, of our culture. It's my rechamotidun. I pay you that type of attitude that people have. But yet Christ came and He could have done anything because He was God. Yet He restrained Himself and said, spit at me, hit me, put me on a cross. I can kill all of you. I can have 12 legions of angels come and whip your behinds. Yet I'm meek. And so likewise, the Lord calls His children to be meek and not to take out one another. So we were looking at the Beatitudes last week. Each one starts with blessed is, blessed is, blessed is. We touched on that. What is blessedness? There's a couple of people that weren't here, but what is blessedness? So you might have a couple of things in culture. If you've got nice bling, nice shoes, if you're rich, if you eat at a nice restaurant, then you're blessed. No, that's not blessedness. Blessedness, true blessedness is not on there, but true blessedness is this. Jesus says, if you hear God's word and obey it, that's blessedness. Blessed life, you want a blessed life? It's not to look cool. Blessed life is this, is that you actually hear God and do what He says, then you'll have a blessed life. It's countercultural. That's not what our culture thinks. It's definitely not Instagrammable. It doesn't go that well on Instagram if I paste, blessed are those who mourn their sinful nature. No. I don't get that many likes on Instagram if I pop that one. Yet, if I've got cool new shoes, it might work better. But you get what I'm saying. We need to be a people of true blessedness, eternal blessedness. I'm not saying God's not going to provide shoes. He's not going to give you a nice car now and again. That might be it, but that is not what we hold fast to. That is not what is life. That is not, blessedness is not material and flesh. It is a spiritual matter, true blessedness. So that's important when we look at these things. Why are we again looking at the Beatitudes, by the way? No, let me ask you, let me rephrase. Where do I find the Beatitudes? What part of Scripture? In the Sermon of the Mount. What's in Afrikaans? Die bergrede. Man jong, dit klink top. Die bergrede. Nee, gelukkig nie die staatsrede nie, prys die Here. We're not going to build our lives on the staatsrede, but on the bergrede. So why are we looking at the Sermon on the Mount this year? We're looking at it because at the end of it in chapter 7, Jesus says, if you hear these words of mine and act upon them, referring to Matthew 5, 6, 7, the Sermon on the Mount, the Bergrede. If you do all of this, if you hear these words, and if you actually practice them in your life, guess what's going to happen? You're going to build your house on the rock. That's it. That's why we're doing it this year. Because who wants a house on the rock? Amen. Cool. Why do we want that? Because as we've seen in chapter 7, both the wise man building on the rock and the not so wise man building on the sand had the same in common. Both had the storms, the wind, and the rain come for them. So albeit if you build on sand or rock, life's going to happen to you. Surprise. Who's ever not had storms winds and rivers in their life. None of us. Life happens. And so we need to make sure we're building on that. Sorry, I'm jumping to and fro. Quentin, you're doing a brilliant job. Thank you. I don't know how you did that, but that might have been just been God. Let's move on. 2.1, Beatitudes. Quickly going to run through them. Guys, again, it's one thing listening to a sermon or catching one out of four sermons about the Beatitude. It's another thing going home and studying and making it your own. And it's not because you can come and verbatim say, I know the Beatitudes. It's because you want to impart it and build it in your life because you want to build a house on the rock. And we want a generation of children whose moms and dads, by the grace of God, are building their homes on the rock, right? Who would want to give their kids something that they didn't have? I'm not knocking my parents. I love my parents. I honor them. But there's something spiritually that I want to give my children that I did not receive. Amen? Maybe be that honest with one another. We're not dissing anybody. We're just saying we want to be building on the rock. Beatitudes, let's read from verse 2. And he opened... Nou sê bietjie vinnig vir ons, broer. And he opened his mouth. It's 2.1. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. If it's not on there, just listen closely. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those, listen up, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Who came in hungry? Who came hungry to church this morning? You don't have to say yes, but you came with a bit of hunger. We're going to touch on that quickly now. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I think that's probably one of my five most stunning verses in the Bible. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. And so it goes on. We're going to go through them step by step. What we've noted is that the first three is brokenness, poor in spirit, mourning the fact that you're sinful, and then being meek, in other words, controlled strength, moving on to a place of righteousness. So righteousness is a key word for us here. So we're moving to a place of righteousness in the Beatitudes, and then from righteousness. So righteousness is a very important word this morning. Let's move to Matthew 5:6 quickly. The one we're going to hover on in the little time we do have. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Who likes that verse? Who doesn't understand that verse? Who thinks it's gibberish or weird? Petri, you understand it better than I do. You just don't want to understand it. Understand it in Jesus' name. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Now, keeping that in mind, I'm going to give you my interpretation and heart and what I've checked with people like, some smart people that I listen to just to double check that I'm not speaking gibberish. But just the Holy Spirit to break that open for you in a very short time. We're going to quickly look at it. You can go to the next slide, please. Quickly look at it in four segments. We know what blessed is. We know what it's not. So we're not going to go there again. Then hunger and thirst, righteousness and satisfied. Who wants to be satisfied in life? I desperately want to be satisfied daily. Who often find themselves not being satisfied? Come on, be honest. We're in church. Come on. Often you find yourself not being satisfied. Who's been in a space where the grass is always greener everywhere else? Ja, maar jy is met Philip getroud. Dis net so maklik is. Dankie Sue. Ek werk in dit. We don't have time for jokes. Come on, Sue. Come on. Focus. Hunger and thirst. Now, quickly, let's go to the next slide. We have a look. There's firstly physical hunger and thirst. Who's ever been so freaking hungry that they can eat a horse? Who's had those moments? Yeah, hangry. I apparently get that as well. So we all get hungry quite often. Who gets hangry? I see a couple of nods and smiles. Okay, a couple of us. We need to be more spiritual, guys. And who's ever been so thirsty and then get into a place where you can drink and drink and drink? I remember we were on a SOS camp, I think, close to Valiersdorp. We had a stream like a real mountain stream that you can drink off. And I thought there was Ethiopia. It was like heaven to a standard 3 kid. It was amazing. But I remember that moment. I was so thirsty in this pure, pure, pure waters. I think the same in the Cedarburg. Went on a long hike and then just getting into one of those mountain streams and just drinking and drinking. Who's had some of these moments? Now that's physical. Who's had of those moments where you were so hungry and you had, at last, you can get to lunch, you can get to breakfast, and it's just so amazing? Okay, what did you eat? Let's waste a bit of time. Come on. Explain the moment to us. Let's live in it. Almal is nou 'n bietjie skaam. Julle is ordentlik. What was it, Tish? A garage pie, yes. Yes. Praise the Here. Albert, what did you have? Did you have a garage pie? Steak na vas. I always struggle with after a fast. Food is not that brilliant, but I'm glad you enjoyed the steak. Pizza for me, I don't even have to be too hungry, but it's good to have. And thirsty, when did you drink something? And it was just so amazing. After a 20K run. Yeah, I always get that. No, I don't. Anybody else? Kirsten Bosse water. I say. Just a really hot day. Yes. And so we all get the picture. But who's ever thought of this in a soulish way? Who's realized that, man, I'm so hungry, my soul. This so hungry in my being. I'm just so thirsty in my being. Anybody? Who at this moment, to be honest, is in their soul actually a bit hungry and thirsty? You're in a season of your life that you're actually hungry and thirsty. Anybody? I think me too. I've tasted the Lord. And I know exactly. I love what Tish shared. Just to get back to that moment where, boom, where Christ is the mountain stream that you're drinking of. He is that garage pie that just blesses your soul. Thanks, Tish. But our souls are made to hunger and thirst often. So we know these experiences physically. Fishers did a study on consumer facts for 2018. It's not on there. Don't worry. People are spending a significant amount of time on social media. Apparently, 1 in every 3 minutes in total on internet is on social media these days. And everybody that goes on there is there for about 2 hours and 15 minutes. That's in 2018. 2 hours and 15 minutes, 1 in every 3 minutes on social media. What do I hear as a pastor? What do I hear? I hear thirst and hunger for community. I hear thirst and hunger for fellowship. I hear thirst and hunger for other people. I hear thirst and hunger for God. Something is driving all of these people on the internet to spend at least a third of their time there, if not more for some of us, yearning, looking for something. Shopping and stress go hand in hand. Apparently, about 3 in 4 shoppers do stress shopping. It's of the ages of 16 to 24. Don't worry about the age. But who does stress shopping in this place? Retail stress. In other words, again, it comes down to a hunger and a need. The sixth one that they mentioned there was that people these days, consumers, are so impatient that they expect an answer within 10 minutes. 82% of them want an answer within 10 minutes. In other words, again, it shows a need, a draw, a drive. So this morning, are you thirsty and hungry? Augustine said the following. He said, "Thou hast made us for thyself." Listen up closely. "Thou hast made us for thyself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it finds rest in thee." Who's ever wanted that new car or that burger or that girlfriend or that dog, strangely enough, or that cat? Sorry, Stephen. Who's ever wanted that thing? Yearning for it, crying for it, having a thirst and hunger, and yet when you have it 2 days later, it's mundane. You're thirsty again. You're hungry again. Who's ever gone on that holiday that you were looking out, saving for, thinking about, daydreaming about? Gone on the holiday, came back thinking, I'm still in need. I'm still hungry. I'm still thirsty. And that's the theme. That's the key. God has created us to such a degree that our hearts will stay restless. Nothing, let me put it to you very bluntly, nothing in this world will satisfy the need and the thirst in you, save for Jesus Christ. If you really wanted to go home, you can go home now. You've got the message. Nothing out there, nothing out there can satisfy you as He does. Now, yes, He can minister to you and He blesses you through your spouse, through even a material blessing now and again. But ultimately, it's about what we heard this morning. It's about Him coming to us and saying, I alone, sorry, am I preaching too loud? I alone, even new children in my life, I've seen it lately. Even the things that you want at work, even the things that you build to, can, if not in the Lord, cannot sustain and fulfill you. Let's quickly look at Psalm 135:15. Listen up. The idols of the nations are silver and gold made by human hands. Who's ever wanted silver and gold in this church? Money. Come on. Net Annelies in Ek. Who's ever? All of us. All of us. And there is a matter of reality to that. Please don't hear what I'm not saying. But listen up what the Lord says in His Word. The idols of the nations are silver and gold made by human hands. They have mouths but cannot speak, eyes but cannot see. They have ears but cannot hear, nor is there breath in their mouths. Those who make them will be like them, and so will all who trust in them. It's a bit of a poetic theme going there, but it boils down to this. The things that the world crave for, the things that we think materially can satisfy and can come and satisfy the lust and the hunger and the need in you, they can't speak, they can't minister to you, they can't be God to you. Yet, if once you trust them and follow them, you'll become just like them. I know it's a bit of a hard word. But it's only, I was a commercial lawyer for a number of years, working on massive reverse takeovers of gold mines, thinking, well, this is the bee's knees, this is the chisel. I'm working with the best lawyers there is around the block. And yet I saw a bunch of people, pretty smart, pretty cool, but chasing and never arriving, eating and drinking and staying thirsty and staying hungry. And I'm not saying you shouldn't be a lawyer. Please do be a lawyer if that is your call for this season. It wasn't mine. Because I was chasing and drinking and eating, but I was still hungry and I was still thirsty. You can be in ministry, by the way, and have the same issue. It's not about what you do. It's about if you connect with Him. Jeremiah 2:13. My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug for themselves their own cisterns. That's like a container or a tank. Let's call it a bowl. Broken cisterns that cannot hold water. In other words, God says, I can fulfill you. Christ says, I'm enough. Yet, the flesh, and I include myself in that, I'm not saying that I don't fall for the same tricks. We create our own little buckets, containers, tanks, cisterns that we build in life and saying, if I drink of this, I'll be fine. Yet He says, it can't contain water. It can't satisfy your soul. Is anybody excited about the message thus far? Let me on. I think it's quite funny. Isaiah 55:1. Let's add to that. Look here. By the way, the Lord is definitely condemning. He's convicting and saying, hey man, come on. Eat the real deal. Eat the real bread of life. Drink the real water of life. Come on. No wonder you stay thirsty and hungry, Retief. I had a moment like that early this morning where I need to say, am I truly drinking of Him? I wanted to preach it, but am I doing it? So please hear my heart. Isaiah 55:1 says, come all of you who thirst, come to the waters, and without money, come buy and eat, come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. In other words, He says, you called for a different world. You called for a different system. He's not saying forsake your work and let's all go live in the desert somewhere. No, He's not weird with us. He's just saying, where's your heart at? What is your heart drinking on? Where are you seeking to be satisfied? Remember, we're moving to satisfaction. Where are you trying to find satisfaction? Moving on. Why spend money on that which is not bread and your labor on that which does not satisfy? Remember, we're moving to satisfaction. Matthew 5, 6. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness will be satisfied. Why do you spend your money on all this stuff? Why do you work so hard? Why do you work so hard for that which does not satisfy? Awfully quiet. Let's move on. Listen carefully to me and eat what is good spiritually, and your soul will delight in the riches of foods. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen so that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you. And he goes on. Then John 4, you know, the woman at the well, I'm not going to read it now. You know that, you know how it fans out. Bottom line is, he says to her, come to me and I will give you water to drink. Water that you do not know. Living waters. And if you drink it, streams of living waters will flow from your belly. I'm daily in that place again saying, am I going to drink from the buckets, from the crooked ways of this world, thinking, oh man, if I can only drink that bucky, ooh, the bucky that I'm driving, if I can only drink of that bucky, I'll be satisfied. No, I have the bucky by God's grace now, but it cannot sustain and fulfill me. Sorry, it's a weird expression, but it's in my context quite true. I was so looking forward to that steak and just having a braai on Friday, but if not with the Lord, it's not going to sustain and fulfill. Yet the Lord says, come to me, come. Come drink from me. Come drink from my spirit. And in John, we see that. You can go to the next slide as we hurry on to righteousness. Quickly, what is righteousness, guys? Right standing with God. Who of you are in right standing with God at the moment? All of you. Come on. Who believes in Jesus? All of you. You are in right standing with God. In spite of these hard words, in spite of our hearts being convicted by the word of God, if you've got faith in Christ, you are in right standing with God. There's lots that I've written down here that we're not going to get to. But for the sake of time, there's two elements. It's firstly to the definition. Firstly, it's right standing with God. Who's got a girlfriend, a boyfriend, a husband, wife, or a good friend? And you know when you're not in right standing with him. Come on. We all know that. You know when you're not in right standing. And likewise with the Lord, the Holy Spirit helps us, convicts us, and brings us to a place where we say, we're not in right standing now with somebody. In other words, something needs to shift. But in the case of, as we're speaking spiritually, righteousness can only come from faith in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he made him who knew no sin, who was that? Jesus, to be sin for us. So Jesus became sin for you, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Bill Johnson says the following. He says, Jesus took what I deserved so I could get what he deserved. It's not on there. Jesus took what I deserved so that I can get what he deserved. Do you want what Jesus deserved? That's a freaking good deal. That's better than Black Friday. I thought, yeah, not Black Sunday. Let's be careful. Jesus took what I deserved so that I could get what he deserved. Galatians 3:26 says, for in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God. Who of you are sons and daughters of God? All of you by faith. Through faith. But who knows that faith is not a once-off in an altar call. Faith is a walking out. Daily, daily, daily. When you're at work, when you're training, when you're running around, when you're on your bicycle, when you're on the phone, when you're WhatsApping somebody, when you're at home, when you're doing dishes, when you're doing washing, when you're doing admin, it's a constant thing of walking out. Faith in Christ. Trusting Christ. Or am I trusting my own deeds? Am I trying to be self-righteous? Am I trying to be righteous? Am I trying to adhere to the things of the law? Am I trying to do all these good things? Or am I putting my trust and my faith in Him? It's a very big topic. We're not going to drill down into all of it. But the bottom line, it is through faith. Let's move on. Verse 26. Back 27. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. How do you want to be found in Christ? Believe in Him through faith. Secondly, be baptized into Him. Be baptized into Christ. It's an act of obedience. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. And so it goes on. To be righteous is to be found in Christ. How do I be found in Christ? Believe in Him. And I be baptized. And there's a third element that I'm going to throw in there just very quickly. It's not on the board. It is in Romans 8 verse 15. All those led by God's Spirit are God's sons. So yes, I believe in Christ. I exchange, I receive His righteousness, I receive what He deserved. Thank you, Lord. I am baptized. Yes, it's again just an act of faith that I'm one with Him. I am righteous before God because of what He did, not what I did. He took my guilt upon Himself. Thank you, God. But now how do I walk it out? I walk it out by being obedient to the Holy Spirit. I cannot once off in an altar call say X, Y, and Z before the Lord, and yet I do with my life what I want. I need to trust that the Holy Spirit fills me up and I follow Him all the way. There's much more I wanted to say about being in Christ and being a new creation, but we can do it at another stage. What is important is John 19:30. It's not on there. Jesus was hanging on the cross, then what did He say? There was three potent words. What was the three potent words He used? Concerning my righteousness, your righteousness, concerning sin and the fallenness of this world. What did He say? It is finished. Look your neighbor in the eye and say, it is finished. Now, maybe just get, if you're dating, just give context, please. Grappy. If you're married, give context. I don't want to give somebody a loophole here. Maar jy het gesê. No. Christ said on the cross, hanging there, paying for each and every misstep, paying for each and every foul thought, paying for each and every murder and horrible thing that is confessed and brought to the cross. He said, it is finished. It is finished. That thing that has been nagging your heart, that thing that has been eating you from the inside, that the enemy wants to just keep on staying there, that thing, Christ said about that thing, it is finished. But you need to start prophesying and believing it over that thing. It is finished. It is finished. It is finished. Who of you are righteous in this place this morning? I want to see everybody's hands. If you believe, if you have faith and walk by His Spirit, you are righteous. So in Him, believe and be baptized. Walk by the Spirit. I said here, righteousness is the person of Jesus Christ. Righteousness is the person of Jesus Christ. As long as I believe in Him, follow Him. Righteousness is the person of the Holy Spirit. That is Jesus Christ. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst for Jesus, for they will be satisfied. If righteousness is faith in Christ, I can also say, blessed are those that hunger and thirst and have a faith in Christ in all they do, and hence will be satisfied. One last thing before we go to satisfaction or being satisfied. Righteousness is relationship. What do I mean by that? Hunger and thirst for righteousness. It sounds a bit medical. It sounds a bit mechanical even. But if I put it like this, that I'm good friends with the Vineyards, and if there's an issue, and I can sense there's an issue, I need to hunger and thirst to restore peace with Him again. I need to restore the right standing with the Vineyards again. In other words, I need to restore relationship with Him. If it's really truthfully an important relationship to me, what do I do then? I hunger and I thirst to keep relationship. If you want to hunger and thirst for righteousness, it's just to hunger and thirst for relationship with God. How's my relationship with the Lord? And my relationship with the Lord can only be good, and it can only be in right standing. How? If I put my trust in whom? In Jesus. It's a lot of food this morning. I hope you eat it. I hope you take in most of it. Even go work through it and chew on it after this. And the third thing we said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, who is Christ Jesus, putting trust in Him, for they will be satisfied. What is satisfaction? What is it to be satisfied? Who's ever been in that place of absolute satisfaction? In the spiritual sense. Quickly explain. Quickly testify. What? Anything. Complete contentment. That's great. I just want to get handles so that we can have an understanding. Complete contentment. Like, I don't need something new now. I don't need a better cat now. I don't need pizza now. I'm just fine. I won't tell your cat, Stephen. Total peace. That's good. So, contentment, total peace. That's satisfaction. No fear. That's brilliant. That's brilliant. We all want this. But we don't always hunger and thirst after righteousness. Hence, we don't have What was it? Peace. No peace, no fear, contentment. If you want contentment, no fear, and peace, you need to hunger and thirst for Jesus. How do you hunger and thirst for Jesus' righteousness? You have faith in Him. In other words, I'm dealing with lots of stuff and a mess in my life. Christ, I want you. Christ, I want you. Christ, Christ, what do you do in this situation? Christ, how do you deal with this person in this situation? Christ, how can I trust you and not my own works? But I've been to church. That doesn't matter. But I'm in a small group and I'm leading one and I'm packing chairs till my back hurts. That does not matter. Can you put your faith and trust in Christ? Lead to satisfaction. How? To have peace, to have no fear, to have contentment. It looks like I've plotted and placed you guys with those answers beforehand. It's so good. You guys can please, if you don't mind, start giving out the communion. We're going to end off with communion this morning. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. We all have a lingering need and hunger and thirst. We all have tried to satisfy it by hose pipes and streams and cisterns and glasses and glassware. But at the end of the day, the only one that can truly satisfy your heart and your soul longing is Jesus Christ. It's His righteousness. It's trusting in Him. Not having to perform stuff on your own. You can ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, where am I drinking? What am I eating emotionally and spiritually soulish in my life, trying to be satisfied, but it's not working? And say, Lord, how can I replace it? If your job is so important, you want to get all your fulfillment, and I'm not saying that there is not godly fulfillment in employment and jobs, there is, as long as it's the Lord. But if it's to such degree that it is not in balance with your time with the Lord, time in His presence, time in the Word, you're going to run on dry. So it might be your job that is currently just your driving force, trying to eat it and more and more and more and better salary, but yet I stay so hungry. Then you bring it to the Lord. If it's your hobby, if you do finger painting, but it's just not satisfying you the way it used to satisfy you with finger painting, then you might say, Lord Jesus, forgive me. I need to come and lay down my finger paint. If eating, physical food eating, is trying to satisfy if the garage pie is not doing its job anymore for you, you need to bring it to the Lord this morning and say, Lord, please come. If it is a relationship, thinking that that perfect wife, that perfect girlfriend, that perfect husband, that perfect child that plays chess like a champion, that's going to fulfill me, but it hasn't, then you need to bring it to the Lord this morning. I'm trying to not step on toes and give effective examples. Thank you, guys. If your social media has been driving you, but you're not being satisfied through social media and your amount of likes for your hardcore Bible verses, then you need to submit it to the Lord. Yes. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Amen. 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 Eat of Him and eat Him. Amen. Mike, I couldn't agree more. I think it boils down to what we said at the beginning of the year. Guys, let's not settle. Because religiously you can settle. You can have a couple of krimmels. Crumbs, so to speak. And then you're not satisfied, and then you'll go around seeking it in other places. But yet when you spend time with the Lord, not in a religious way, but in a hunger way, a hungry way, like we'll do in any other relationship, He'll satisfy that need and that thirst in your heart. So I couldn't agree more. Thank you, guys. Are you going to just pop into the mother's room as well? Thank you so much. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for faith in Christ, trust in Christ, for Christ the person, for they shall be satisfied. Before we take communion, the word is very clear that we need to be careful to take communion flippantly. In other words, with sin on your hands, sin in your heart. And here's a good moment where maybe there's an idol, maybe there's something that the Lord has convicted you this morning that you're drinking and drinking and drinking and eating of this specific relationship, this thing, this bank account, this investment, but you're not being satisfied. You're still hungry and thirsty. Maybe this morning, just take time with the Lord in this moment and bring that to Him before we take communion. Let's just close our eyes and pray. Lord, thank you that whatever we thirst for, hunger for, that cannot satisfy, we bring it to you this morning. In repentance, and just say, sorry, Lord. I've placed too much of a burden on a relationship, a person to satisfy me, yet they can't. I've placed too much of a burden on a child, of a friend, or a mother, or a father to satisfy me, but they can't. I've even put too much of a burden on your church and humans within your church to satisfy me, but yet they can't. I've put too much of a burden, Lord, on my job, my career, my finance, my investment, my property, even my food or drink. I've placed too much of a trust in that. Yet it cannot satisfy my soul. Lord, I repent. Forgive me as I lay it down and come and switch, Lord, for the authentic, for the real, and for the only one that can satisfy with living waters and the bread of life, Jesus Christ. Lord, forgive us our sins for going after things that cannot speak, cannot hear, and cannot lead us. May we not be like that in Jesus' name. But, praise God, Christ paid a perfect price for righteousness. Christ paid a perfect price that God does not even see the missing the mark as we confess, as we turn, as we yield this morning. We hunger and we thirst for Jesus Christ this morning. We hunger and we thirst for the one that can pay our debt fully and finally each and every time. We turn to Him this morning and say, you are the only one, the only bread that can fill the gap. You are the only drink that can fill the heart. Nothing on this earth compares, not humanly, not materially, nothing else compares. So we thank you for that. I want you to, on your own, just take time with the Lord. Just bring that confession to Him in honesty, breaking your bread and eating again and saying in faith that Christ, I yearn and I thirst and I hunger for you. Fill my inside every day. And likewise, then take the cup on your own, saying, Jesus, only you can come and fulfill and sustain this thirst on my inside. Nothing else that this world can give me, in Jesus' name. Have that moment with Him.